Welcome to the 9th episode of Loud and Actions. Anxious.
Yes.
Yes. This is me, Serena.
And this is Murat.
Yes, I didn't start properly today, but
I think in the 10th episode, it will be the charm and you will say the name correctly.
Because I always said it wrong?
Like, half-half, let's say.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Apologize, but my English is not very good. At least the way that I pronunciate the words, I know that it's not very good. I have an Italian, how can I say?
Accent.
No, I don't think you can hear my Italian accent, but the way I studied English is so Italian that it's basically not effective. But it's a long story, so let's not dig into it. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
And you?
I'm fine.
How was your weekend or week?
That's normal. But now, like, I start to get into gossip stuff, like, you know, entertainment, this channel about all gossips. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this series, it's called Keep Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, I know.
And I did not see specifically the episodes, but you know, there are like so many dramas, and I found the clip in YouTube. You just write like Keep Up with Kardashian, whatever. And they're so amazing. I mean, I start to love it so much. I hope that I will not binge watching this, because otherwise, I mean, another way not to be productive, basically. But what about your week?
Well, my week is not also so productive as you. So you kind of get lost in Kardashians.
Yeah.
I'm already lost in World of Warcraft for 15 years. So same old, I would say.
Yeah, because you played much more than
Now that we are in the house all day long.
I
finish
right.
My work. I close the work computer. I open the gaming computer.
Mm. But at least in is another world. It's kind of, you know, you get out from this isolation, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good. But also, you know what I discovered? That actually YouTube have 360 degrees videos. So you put it on your phone, and then you move your phone, and then you see around. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You don't need any app, anything. It's just already there. You just write something, and then 360. Okay, there are not so many. There are probably 10.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a fan of this kind of stuff, you can even buy like a Google VR. You know, I don't think that they cost so much right now. And then it's even better. You know, it's like it's totally crazy. But you cannot interact already with the environment, so at least not in YouTube.
So little by little, we will be connected to our computers.
Yeah.
And don't budge and just visit all around the world while we are sitting.
Well, I think so. Actually, I've been reading also news that here in the Netherlands, they develop a kind of super fast train that goes into a tunnel. So they said that if this works, at least we don't need airplanes to travel in Europe, because it would be like, I don't know, from Oslo to Rome, like 2 hours.
Very nice.
Yeah, it would be so cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also I was thinking, if I think about my parents or my grandparents, now they're saying, oh, if I think about when I was at your age, so much is changing.
Mm-hmm.
But now for us, it would be even worse. So when we would be like in their age, it will be completely another world, like in the movies, you know.
We will be outdated very soon, I would say.
Yeah,
very
but we
easily,
are already
yeah.
we are already outdated. Come on,
yeah,
the
true,
world
true.
Is
moving so fast.
I mean, okay, in political positions and so on, maybe our time is still have to come.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the world is led by like people that are between 16 and 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like I see that they're like the main buyer persona for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the marketing campaign are basically based on this kind of age, and everything is made for them in the way that they consume it, they buy it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And us, we are like we're not really interested.
We are already in the middle. Not we are not in the group, in the young ones or the old ones. We are just in the middle, the transition phase, let's say.
Yeah, but you know, once I start to think about we are in 2022, and people that were born in 2022. Since when? 2020? Okay, guys, I don't know.
She's already 2 years ahead of us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why. But like people that are born in the 2000, they're already in their 20s.
Yeah.
Like for me, 2000 is yesterday.
Yeah, well, for me, I also see that your math is amazing.
Yeah, okay. Well, I apologize, but I'm tired, yeah. So.
No problem.
And then you're moving the video. Come on. Yeah.
I want to spotlight me.
Otherwise, I even have something here. No, yeah. I have a pimple. Okay. So let's say that this video starts a little bit video and audio. I'm talking bullshit, so it didn't start properly well. So let's go into the topic of today.
Okay, so what we will do, we have like 4 new releases that we will talk about. Then we have a discussion topics. We will talk about the our favorite instrumental bands.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will talk about the best stage performers.
Yeah.
As a band or as a lead frontman, let's say. Then in our deep metal secret state, we will talk about the metal stuff that we will do this summer, and this will be it for this episode.
Yeah, so let's go into the discovery straight away.
So okay, then would you like to start?
Yeah, why not? So what I've been listening. It's not really like super recent releases, but they're like I think from the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, not 22. And I listened to the new album of Suicide Silence, which is I really wanted to talk about this band because I don't know if you know the story about it.
No.
Okay, this is a very nice story.
Okay.
So Suicide Silence is some years that is on the scene. So it's a deathcore band. And before they had this guy, his name is Mike, was Mike actually. And he was probably one of the most versatile singer in the deathcore scene. So he was able to grunt, he was able to pick squeals, was able to scream and roll. And it was amazing. Like he didn't put any effort when he was live. So the what you listen to in the album, you see it live. So it was amazing. And also his appearance were like full of tattoos, but this is deathcore style, so it's not really something that he was
peculiar with. Or
exactly. But then this guy was kind of a wild child, let's say. And you know, one of the most famous song of Suicide Silence is called "You Only Live Once."
YOLO.
Yeah, YOLO, exactly. And the thing is that I really like this song. I think it's a very good song. And also it gives like a nice message. And it was more or less his way of life. Until when? Until he got in drugs. Probably was doing drugs often. Or he was drunk, I'm not sure. He just took a motorbike and he just decided to go and crash on the wall like in the 200 kilometers per hour, something like this. So a very stupid way to die, basically. Yeah. And then the band went a little bit off the radar. Then they replaced the singer, of course, but this guy is not Mike, you know. Mike or Mitch, maybe I'm confusing. I'm not really a huge fan. I also read it about them, but now I forgot. Maybe next time I will put some notes. Anyway, then they made an album that make me think that actually the mind of the band was actually this guy, because this album was shit. Really shit. Like it was not even a deathcore album, it was like new metal album.
I see.
And this guy was singing clean, so I'm wondering, I mean, you have a deathcore fan base, why you put a guy that's singing clean? I mean, if he's not able to grow or whatever, just take someone else. There's a lot that of can, yeah. You know. Then they disappear again, like for a lot of years, and now they come back with this new one. Get this a little bit better. So it's not the same quality as 2012, but we are going back
getting there. Getting there, okay.
We are getting there. I don't know what they did. Probably they took like some guitarist or whatever, because the singer is still the same. And in the meantime, as you can imagine, they were just publishing like this collection of old song or whatever. So it's just a way to make money or just have a excuse to tour, I don't know. But still, okay, it's nice. But I saw some reviews about it and they said that it's not as before, so I don't think that Suicide Silence will never get back as before. But they have the name, so, and they have still fan base, and they like to hear the old songs, so yeah, they will just survive for a while, I guess.
Thanks for that. story.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about them, not for the album itself, but because it's a backstory, nice story. Yeah, like, okay.
So you are not very keen about the album. You are not very excited about the album.
No, I'm much as you probably understand that after some episode, I really like gossip and stories.
Yeah, so this story was fascinating for you.
Exactly. Okay. So for the album, okay, if they're really good, I will talk about it. But or project, I will talk about like this parentheses. Very complicated name. So actually, if you search it in Google, you will not find so much. So it's better you go to Meta Archives, and from there you will find the different channels of the group. And is a I think it's a Swedish band. And is made by members of Dodecaedron. That is a band also that I really like. And they're making this kind of experimental black metal with some atmospheric
elements.
Uh-huh. Yes, and I think that they have they just released the new album in the way that they didn't really want it because of this quarantine situation, and they also put it in their own channel. But they're really good. They're really promising, and I really like the way that black metal is evolving right now. Finally, we left staticness, let's say, of okay, if you're black metal, you have to sound like Emperor, whatever. And we are really going through more experimentation and
making the genre richer, let's say.
Yes, right? Exactly. Exactly. It started some years ago, it's not that today they started, but I really like the way that it goes to also, like with sludge, they are taking some sludge element and so on. And finally. I don't know why it took so long. With that, it was much faster.
Yeah, maybe it's that their fan base are more zealots. Like, they want, when they say death or when they say black, they want to hear that. So
The classic one. Yeah, but so boring.
Yeah, for me also, but yeah, it's nice to hear that they are experimenting stuff, adding instruments, adding layers to the music. Because for me, death metal and black metal, the same for me. Yeah, of course, they are not the same for me, but for me, it's all both of those genres, they lack layers, they lack depth.
True.
So I think maybe in the future it will be a richer genre if it goes like this.
It's growing a lot actually. But what about your releases?
Well, for me, I checked two prog albums that are released very recently. First, I will talk about the most famous one, let's say, the Caligula's Horse. So they released their fifth full studio album. For me, this band is like, they are good, they are excellent musicians, but as a productivity or creativity, I think they lack. And this album, again, it is the same. So what they do, you can hear during the album, it's very well played and it's very well mastered, mixed. So it's a perfect musicianship.
Yeah, you see that I'm not the only one that cannot pronounce some words.
So for me, the
today is like this, guys. Yeah. Sorry, but
for me, the album is nice. What I hear, you can easily hear the influence of Dream Theater, Rush, or Haken in the album. For some it is bothering to hear. Really, you can say that this solo is coming from Dream Theater. You can hear that. For me, it's not that much better because I think they put it nicely together. And one other thing, I can categorize this as a happy prog. So mainly the all the songs are based on major scales. So you know the sound from Vola or the sound from artificial language. So those are mainly they are writing songs in major scales. That's why you hear it like a pop song. You can hear the chords from pop or from more happy music. So mainly metal music is too much focused on minor scales. For me, it is nice refresher. If you start listening to the album, the first three songs are so strong and so powerful. For me, my first impression is that okay, I just found a very nice album. But after the first three songs, the tempo goes down so bad that there are three or four songs in a row that I don't understand why they are in the album.
Mm.
Like there is one song which is called Resonate. It sounds like a bad Backstreet Boys song.
Oh
so
my
it's
God.
Not even a good Backstreet Boys song.
Okay.
So for me, I felt like they made a contract to deliver 1 hour of music.
Mm.
So they did like 35-40 minutes of very good songs, because after the last two songs also are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle, they just put whatever they have in their hands.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a bit shame. But other than that, the first part and the last part of the album is amazing.
Well, I don't know about the album, but the guys mm-hmm. in Caligula's Orchestra are really handsome.
Yeah, that's in my also note. As you see, bonus note for Serena, Jim Gray has muscles and he is handsome.
Yeah, but I saw them in Spain, so I know about them.
You already know that. Okay.
Yes.
So, well, I also put that I hate, because I don't have muscles, I don't have hair. I'm just... Okay. The second band is from Sweden, is a prog metal or prog rock. So it's in between.
Mm-hmm.
It has elements from both, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly it's a nice prog all around, let's say.
Actually, I would like to ask you, which is the difference between prog metal and prog rock?
I think metal is more bass dominated, let's say. And you hear some growls and
okay.
those kinds of elements. And let's say prog rock is more Floydish, going to Rush, having roots in Pink Floyd, Rush, those kinds of bands. So good example for prog rock, I would say Pineapple Thief, Porcupine Tree.
Oh.
Good examples for prog metal, Opeth.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say.
The first Opeth.
First Opeth, yeah. The second half of Opeth is going towards the prog rock,
yeah,
I would
say,
to 80s prog, 70s prog,
yeah.
Which is for me, it's beautiful. But I can understand that some fans are frustrated about it.
Yeah, but this is big story.
Yeah, big story, yeah. The band that I reviewed is called Vulcan. It is their third studio album. It's called Technatura. So I was just browsing new releases, and the name and the name of the album attire my attention. So I give the listen. Well, I was not expecting much. I didn't know them, but the album is nice. It's a nice all-arounder, let's say. It's like all the songs are 7 out of 10. So there are no extreme
mm-hmm.
songs, like very. Maybe the first song is nice, but again, it has lots of oriental rhythms, etc. And as everyone now knows, I have a soft spot for that. So the first song is was very nice, but otherwise it's a nice album to listen. It's like it doesn't tire you so much. I really like the vocals. I really like the tone of the guy. I don't know many techniques or so. I'm not sure if his technique is good, but for me, the voice of the vocalist was very nice, and I really adored the keyboard, the keyboards through the album.
Okay.
So, for me, yeah, it's nice to hear. If you are a prog fan, if you don't know them, I think this album is very nice. You can listen to it. Yeah, this was my reaction for these albums.
Okay.
Okay, now our second topic is our favorite instrumental bands. Shall we start with yours?
Yes. So I have two on my list that mm-hmm. I want to talk about today. The first one is a quite recent band. It's called Arch Echo. They're from the US. They're super young. They're probably
mm-hmm.
in their 20s, but like below 25.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing like as gods. I mean, I never seen... Okay, I'm not really a huge fan as progressive as you,
mm-hmm.
so maybe I don't have a lot of examples.
Mm-hmm.
But they're crazy when they play. They're so fast. They're so precise. They're like so complex. And their songs, they are super long. And I don't know, like, well... written, like there are so many things that are changing and so on, but not in a boring way. I don't know how to explain it, but normally I'm not a huge fan of instrumental bands. And I tend not to listen to them, but with this band I cannot stop it, because there are so many, everything is so dynamic. like even live, we actually I don't know if you were there, but they were in Euroblast last year, and I had the possibility to see them twice, once in Euroblast and the other time in Amsterdam, and yeah, even live they're keeping up with the same speed, with the same clean performance, and for me it's like I'm getting crazy about them. But yeah, do you have any other progressive band that you like, instrumental?
Yeah, well, I think either you go with progressive or you go with the post-rock when you check for those two. Well, my favorite band, and it's by far it became my favorite instrumental band, is called Tides of Nebula. It's a Polish trio from Warsaw. I found about them in the last Euroblast again. I didn't know about them before, but their show was amazing. It was extremely good with all those light shows, and I really like their atmospheric music. So after the festival, I started to listen to them, and it's so soothing. It's when I start, it's like I finish all the Spotify playlist with them. So it's very nice to listen. I strongly advise our listeners to check them.
Okay, well, for me then we changed completely genre. One let's say love of mine teenage time, since I was a Blackster for a while, is Xastur. So Xastur makes atmospheric depressive black metal. Like my favorite song is called Suicide in Dark Serenity, you can imagine. Actually, when I started to listen to him, and my mom was like checking my playlist, like not checking, like stalking me, but she was seeing more or less what I was doing on my computer, what I was listening to. She got a little bit scared because of these titles, you know, but okay, it was never like I mean, she could realize that this was music, and I did not reflect myself in the title of these songs, for example. But the thing that I liked about Xastur is that he's playing this instrumental black metal. It's true, there's some voice from him, but it's like a scream, and it's part of the atmospheric. So he used his voice as an instrument, let's say. And also there is really like raw black metal. Typical from the genre, but he also changed at least in his old albums. Now I'm not following him so much, but he was changing a lot inside the songs itself. They are quite long, and yeah, even if it's raw, he really caught me at the time. It was giving me so much energy, but also like it's kind of negative energy that maybe is much more powerful than the positive one, even if it's not really nice. But yeah, Xastur is kind of, also there's a story behind. Unfortunately, I don't think we have time, but this guy also has a story. So if someone wants to check him, they can see like a Vice document, documentary, sorry, called One Metal Man, I think. In which they also interview Xastur, and yeah, basically he's depressed, was depressed, and he had like a lot of difficulties in life. So it's also really interesting. And the last band from you?
Well, the last band of mine, I think you will also agree, is Russian Circles.
Yeah,
I
very
think
nice.
It is one of the best instrumental post-rock bands in the scene right now. It's always a joy to listen to them. Live or any kind of releases that they do. I think they have a very recent release from last year, end of 2019, if I'm not mistaken. It was again an amazing album. So yeah, I would again, whenever I see them in a festival or something, I get excited.
Since this is quarantine times, we are thinking about our gold age in which we were able to go and see a concert. So we were thinking about which are the best stage performance that we have ever seen. Which is your opinion, Murat?
Well, my answer will be quite a politic answer, let's say. Well, I didn't see him. I didn't see him live, but I see lots of video. I think Freddie Mercury was the most powerful frontman ever came to rock metal scene.
He
was so much power, so much energy at the scene. at the stage. And I think it's not an easy task to just move like masses, like 500,000 people, 600,000 people, and sing with you. I think, yeah, he is like in an unreachable situation as a frontman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for me, maybe I can agree, like politically, as mm-hmm. you said, but I never seen it him, so yeah. I never felt this energy. Yeah. So for me, if I think about the best performers, I would say more someone that I actually saw live. Mm-hmm. I really like Dee Snider from Twisted Sister, mm-hmm. for example.
Mm, yeah.
I was able to see him Wacken in one of the, well, he claimed that it was the last show of mm-hmm. One of the last show of Twisted Sister, but I think that they did something else mm-hmm. after. And the thing that I really like about him is that he's not only a performer when he sings, but also in between of the song, he was able to catch the attention of the people in the crowd, mm-hmm. speaking with them, making jokes and talking shit, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was really natural. So I probably consider him the best performer, mm-hmm. At least for big bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have some ideas for small bands, but I don't know mm-hmm. if you have other example.
Well, for me, as a performer, as a band, let's say, not a single person, but if you just check it as a band, I think Pink Floyd is leading in that, because they are the ones who bring this psychedelic atmosphere into the music.
Mm-hmm.
So like light shows, puppets, I think, yeah, using puppets in the wall concerts, for example.
Okay.
And using all kind of effects, all kind of theatrical instruments to make a scene like a movie. Mm-hmm. So, and well, besides that, they are amazing musicians
mm-hmm.
that plays like in a very high quality in each show that they play. I was lucky to see Roger Waters performing twice live.
Okay.
Once it was a Dark Side of the Moon album concert. The other one was the Wall tour that he did in 2016 or 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, both of them are unforgettable experiences for me. For me, yeah, as a band, Pink Floyd is leading in this area.
Mm, okay, and as a band.
Yeah.
Probably the one that caught my attention the most was Heilung,
mm-hmm.
because they have this kind. So Heilung is like I call it Celtic mm-hmm. folk metal band,
mm-hmm.
and they are representing when they are singing some rituals that they are original from their own land or even North Europe. They're mm-hmm. from Norway,
I think. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's quite interesting. It's not the music itself, but they making like a huge work, actually, because mm-hmm. they're representing something that otherwise you would never see.
Yeah,
you can read it from history books, mm-hmm. but this gives you really like the atmosphere that they were there during mm-hmm. these rituals, part of it at
mm-hmm.
least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe if we consider like the band itself, they also do a good job.
Yeah. Well, when you spoke of Heilung, it brought me to like, if I just check the bands that I see live, I think as a front woman, Mirkur also was I would put it very high in the list.
Mm-hmm.
I saw her twice, and again the atmosphere and the instruments that she brought with herself, folklore instruments. It's when I saw her twice, it's like watching like a goddess from a Nordic mythology mm-hmm. singing for you.
Yeah, okay.
So I would also put her quite high as a strong front singer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, guys, also if you have like some comments about it, it would be nice to know, actually.
Yeah,
so just
mm-hmm.
to just put a comment or write an email and tell us what you think about also for the other chapters,
mm-hmm.
chapter sections of the podcast. Yeah. We're running late as always. So we have like one small deep metal secret state.
Yes. So we will just talk about what we will do about metal this summer, as we cannot,
which are the metal things that we will do since you cannot go to festivals.
Yeah. So what will you do?
Well, actually, I have project. So I'm currently recording with a musician that is based in the US. An album. I don't also mm-hmm. I don't know how to call it, like a home album or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that I will put my energies there, as well mm-hmm. as of course in my webzine. If you're interested, of course, check www. Mm-hmm. Woo is Italian, right?
I think so.
Yeah, www. .pandemiawebzine.com.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly will be these two things, I guess. And for you?
Well, for me, this podcast, obviously, that it's you forgot.
Meta, yeah, but these are I took it like okay. As granted, you know.
We just built a band before this corona outbreak. So we had lately our guitarist started to write and record some riffs, and they were sending. So hopefully I will work on the drum partitions,
mm-hmm.
and also hopefully in soon we can start rehearsing. So this will be my main focus, let's say.
Yeah, and you guys, what are you going to do? Like a small metal concert in your yard or what? Please let us know. We're also curious.
Yeah,
it depends on the regulation they have in their own country. Maybe nothing will happen to them. Maybe they have to stay 4 months close at home without seeing anyone.
Yeah.
Who knows? But this is the end for us.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Yes, as always, please check our YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast, whatever. Mm-hmm. Please listen, comment, share, go to Patreon. We mm-hmm. still need money. And
give her money.
Exactly. Oh, come on, it's €3 per month. It's not a lot, eh?
Not too much, yeah.
So don't be greedy, eh? I know that it's a difficult situation, but still, I know that a lot of you guys have money, so...
give us money.
Yeah, we're kind of Robin Hood. We take from the rich and we give it to the poor. That are
us.
Of course. But no, I'm joking, eh? But still comment, put... Yeah. I think you can also comment on the post in Patreon. Basically, our blog is in Patreon, so sometimes mm-hmm. I publish nice things and it's nice to have, like, comments. I don't think you need to be a Patreon to answer.
To see them, yeah. So but reach us.
Yes, and have a nice week, actually.
Yeah, have a nice week.
Bye.
Bye.